Maryland News Network. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone. Over the next hour, we'll bring you the latest high school sports news and discussions from around the state. Now, here's Glenn Clark.
Welcome into High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network. I am Glenn Clark, joined as always by Wick Eisenberg from CountySportsZone.com. Wick, we are in the throes of the postseason. Obviously, we've been in the throes of the postseason for some other sports. Mm-hmm. Now we're a week in. When it comes to football, we are a step closer to Annapolis and championship weekend. Let's go over some of the first round playoff results in football this week in the state of Maryland.
Sure.
I know there were some games that you had singled out as being...
Well, they were all, you should watch all of them.
No doubt. The first one we got to touch on, a little bit awkward.
Yeah.
Tell me what happened between Overly and Lewis.
So Overly and Lewis originally was a 28-12 decision to Overly. However, the game has since been changed to a 2-0 forfeit win for Lewis due to an use of an ineligible player by Overly. This is according to Mike Sy, the coordinator of athletics for Baltimore County. Overly used a player. It had something to do with a residency rule that is in Baltimore County. It's not a state rule. So unfortunately for Overly, they don't get to continue on. And now Lewis is going to be in their second regional final in a row. And they'd never been in a regional final before last year. So a good moment for that program.
Tell me about Walkersville and Oakdale.
31-16 to Walkersville. And this is a team we're going to talk about a little later, but they remain undefeated this season.
Milford Mill had a big win over C. Milton Wright.
Yeah, 46-14, and Milford Mill is going to be happy. Franklin also got upset in the first round of the 3A North, and they're going to be facing an Edgewood team that is very good, but you know that Milford Mill was a little bit more, I would say, unsure going up against Franklin.
Yeah, certainly a program that has had a great deal of success in recent years with the Indians. Harford Tech really paced at Elkton. A pretty good performance.
Yeah, 35-0. Not bad for your first ever playoff game, right? 35-0. Great result for the Cobras, and they're going to be hosting Kent Island next week. We're going to talk about that a little bit later with Mike Bradley.
That's a stunner, obviously, for Kent Island.
Absolutely. I guarantee you they did not expect to be hosting a playoff
game this
week.
They knocked off North Carolina. That is crazy. Yeah, we will talk about that a little bit more. And then a really good one between North Point and Arundel.
Yeah, North Point Arundel ended 20-19 to North Point, and it was just a nail biter. 19-10 was Arundel's lead heading into the fourth quarter, but they weren't able to hold it. The winning play after it was 19-13 was a 79-yard bomb from Jermichael Jones to Malik Lawrence for North Point. Not a bad way to win a game. Now, granted, they had to make the extra point as well. But,
which is not a given in high school football.
Not a given, but Arundel had really controlled that game up to that point, and it was a big, really good performance by their defense. North Point is known for having a high-powered offense. They ran over Old Mill earlier in the year, 42-0. This is a team holding them 20 points. I guarantee you Arundel would have taken that at the beginning of the game.
Sure.
And Arundel had the lead for a lot of it. The first big play was James Sykes for Arundel, picking off a pass with Jones's and running it 5 yards for a touchdown to make it 7-3 in the first quarter. Ryan Sedgwick threw a pair of touchdowns. He threw the first one to Brady Michelhaney to make it 13-3, but that didn't last long. Jones, who, as you can tell, is a big player, big player, he ran 71 yards on the first play of the next drive to make it 13-10. I mean, he just kept them in this ballgame, and he was a big-time difference. North Point faces Broadneck next week in a battle of unbeatens for the 4A East title. That's going to be one you definitely want to keep an eye on.
There's no doubt about that. I can't help but, and I appreciate, I really do want to know, you know, I appreciate you leaving out one of the other scores from the weekend.
Yeah, it didn't work out for you, buddy. Didn't work out. If you want to put it out there, you can.
I'm not thrilled about the fact that Perry Hall lost to Paint Branch this weekend, 44-21.
It's a good team they face. It's a good team they face, and they put up a good game.
Before we move on, I want to run through this weekend was also championship weekend in another sport, and we have four state champions in field hockey. What can you tell us? Run through all four state champions in the field hockey.
Yeah, sure. 1A was Patuxent 2 over FSK 0, and that's a team that we had talked about last week. FSK wasn't able to finish the job. Glenn Elg won won 1-0 over Hereford. Obviously, you're excited to win a state championship, but also that ends the three state title run that Hereford had going. Wow. Chesapeake beat Simoten Wright in the 3A. That's the second straight title for Chesapeake. We're going to talk about them a little bit later. And then we talked about this last week. South River 2, Delaney 1. South River completes one of the stranger postseason journeys I've ever seen. At the end of the day, they've now won two state titles in a row.
And that's the team, of course, that lost two games ago, was it?
Yeah, it was in the regional final to Severna Park, but they were able to go back into the tournament and they took advantage.
And now they are state champions at the 4A level.
Congratulations to the Seahawks.
Yeah, to all of them, in fact.
Yeah.
When we come back in, let's talk some cross country. That's next. This is High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here on High School Sports Line, Glenn and Wick with you. All right, Wick Eisenberg, we will get back into football as the show goes along, and we're going to talk plenty of football during the course of the playoffs. But one of the things that we like to do on this show, if this is the first time you're hearing us, is we like to tell stories and really focus on some of the remarkable athletes throughout the state of Maryland at the high school level, and one of which I know you wrote about earlier on in the season, so a pat on your back as you called this one. You wrote about her at PressBoxOnline.com. She is actually now a state champion. Tell me a little about Haley Cummins from C. Milton Wrights.
Yeah, well, she was already a state champion before this year, but Haley Cummins is a cross-country runner from C. Milton Wright, who I wrote about back in August. And the reason I started writing about her was because I looked through the results of last year's cross-country state finals, and I said, a freshman was able to win a state title last year. What do you do to follow that up? And so I got to talking to her a little bit, and I spoke with her coach as well, Donnie Mickey. And it's just an interesting story for me. I mean, last year, if you will, freshman, going into her freshman year, there was almost zero buzz surrounding her because she was just an unknown entity. She was a freshman who had decided to run because she wanted to stay in shape for lacrosse season. So she's primarily a lacrosse player and had a couple friends on the team. And apparently the friends were like, hey, you know, you're not doing anything in the fall. Let's go for a run. And, you know, this isn't totally surprising for cross country. You get a lot of athletes who do that, whether if it's, you know, lacrosse or basketball or track. You have a lot of athletes who do different sports who do cross country to stay in shape. So she was just another one of those kids for Donnie Mickey who took her on here and said, sure, come join our team. And they have a big old group. See, Milton Wright's known for being one of the best teams in the States for girls cross country. And Mickey says that he always opens the tryouts. The first run of the year is always just a brutal one. He says it's tougher than it should be just to sort of show the kids, hey, we're going to be working here. And so he says it's always sort of shocking whenever a kid who you don't really know comes out and is able to run with the well-known established runners, and that's exactly what Haley was able to do. She jumped out with the lead girls. She fell back eventually, but when somebody does that in Mickey's eyes during the first practice, it really makes you take note of them.
Okay.
And then from there, she was able to win the opening invitational, and sort of in the words of her coach, she didn't really know what she was doing. She just kind of went out there and just ran. It's a little bit like, you know, maybe Forrest Gump, hey, I just felt like running, and she was just like, you know, I'm going to go for a run, and was able to outrun everybody. And of course, this is her freshman year, and it's like, okay, so who's this freshman now that we have winning all these races for us? She kept going. She was able to win Harford County invite, Uckback, and she won the 3A North Regional, and then she qualified for doing that by running at Hereford's famed course for the state title as a freshman. And going into that, she had talked with Mickey a little bit, being like, what's our strategy going to be? And he wanted her to go a little slower, sort of work her way into the race, and instead she was just like, nope, not going to do that. She's just bolted right out of the gun
and ended up
running away. Yeah, geez.
Yeah, right?
And was able to run away from the race big time. She won it with a time of 18 minutes and 41.6 seconds as a freshman. Now, granted, second place finish Molly Barrick was more than 11 seconds behind her. So she was essentially running by herself for the entire time. And so it's really one of those things where it's like, okay, you have this fantastic freshman year where you really come from nowhere to end up being a state champion. How do you follow it up, and how do you try to improve yourself? And talking to Mickey, what he really talked about was he wanted her to really get down the mental aspect of the game. throughout the much of the year, it was simply she's just faster than everybody, and she can outrun him. He wanted to add a sort of mental aspect to her game as well. And initially, what that meant was needing to pace herself better. You know, beginning of races, being able to use hills better. You know, don't exert your energy running down a hill. Sort of save yourself when you're going down a hill, and then save it for when you're going to be going up a hill. That's when you're supposed to exert your energy. And that was something she struggled with initially, that she really tried to bring out this year, and it definitely worked. I mean, she immediately jumped out and won the track and trail race in convincing fashion, and then finished third at a regional race at William & Mary down in Virginia, which was a very impressive showing. Had a lot of runners that are going to end up being state champions this year. And then she was able to win her region this year with an 18-minute and 4-second time at Towson, which is never easy to do. That's also a difficult course. And so going into it, it was like, okay, how is she going to do at this state final? It's always trickier when you have a target on your back. Last year, she sort of went in under the radar. How's she going to be able to handle it this year? Well, she was able to run out and win it again. Now, her time was at 19 minutes, so she actually was slower than she was last year. However, I think a lot of that had to do with the very frigid temperatures that we had this past week, and it makes it a lot tougher. Absolutely miserable, and really windy as well, but she was still able to run a 6.2 mile, and actually, she got better as the race went on. Even with the famed Hereford dip, she was able to run her final mile in 6 minutes and 10 seconds, which is just impressive. And just for, once again, to cross country, it's always, I feel like, great to compare to what the other competition was doing. And the second place runner, Abby Sweeney, was 19:24. So she was 24 seconds away from her. So even though her time wasn't quite as good, by comparison, she was able to win the race by 13 more seconds. It made her the fourth best overall run of the day in the girls' competition. The three in front of her were all in the 4A race, and it should be noted they were all older. They were all juniors and seniors. So you can only see where she's going to be going from here. But anyway, yeah, the best run of that day was in the 4A race. Abigail Green, 18 minutes, 17 seconds from Walter Johnson. That should definitely be noted as the best run. But Haley Cummins is somebody to me that really, really took strides this year and improved herself. It's never easy to be able to come back here and repeat, especially when you have a target on your back. And obviously her plan, she kept the same one as she did last year, jump out in front and just use the hills more properly than she did last year. And she credited that after the race with her being the reason why she was able to do so well. But what's so interesting about her also is, you know, with cross country kids, a lot of the times, like I said, they're dual sport athletes, or if they're really talented, they jump into the track season.
Sure.
So they're going to do indoor. They're going to do outdoor as well. She's a lacrosse player. I mean,
right.
Talking
this
to
is
her,
it. Yeah.
This is a couple months ago, but talking to her, it was, you know, I might want to be able to play in college, and it appears to be something where that's a chance for her. I know she played on C. Milton Wright's varsity team as a freshman, which is never easy to do. And you know, she's got a lot of strengths and abilities in that sport. I think you can, you know, not shockingly, she's a midfielder who is able to just run for days and days, and that's obviously very helpful in lacrosse. And so she's still trying to figure that out. So what I find so interesting is afterwards she was asked, you know, are you looking forward to indoor track season? And she was like, well, you know, I'm not entirely sure that I'm going to be doing that.
That's
so
wild.
It's wild that she's able to just sort of be able to be this successful in this sport without really putting all of it into it. But I'm very curious to see how her career finishes up. And she's one you're going to want to watch.
Let me really quickly go over the other cross-country state champions from the weekend. You mentioned 3A and 4A. The 2A girls champion, Emily Conkis from Hereford.
Yes.
That was nearly a dead heat at the 2A. Ashley Betts, the winner at the 1A level from Patterson Mill.
Mm-hmm.
And on the boys' side, the 4A champion, Adam Nakasaka, from Bethesda Chevy Chase. Yeah, easy for me to say. I talk for a living. Kieran McDermott from Bel Air wins the 3A level. Ryan Lockett from Poolsville wins the 2A level. And on the 1A level, it's Zachary Laird from Bow Manor. Congratulations to all of the cross-country state champions. We come back in. We've got some other stories we want to tell you as we continue along. High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
You've made the necessary sacrifices, been fighting the good fight for as long as you can remember. And now perhaps it's time to enjoy a little fruit from all that labor. A bit of indulgence in the form of the new Ram Limited Tungsten Edition. Real wood trim, tungsten chrome accents, and an advanced technology touchscreen, all surrounded by a highly capable, hardworking truck that'll never let you forget what it took to get here. The new Ram Limited Tungsten, the most luxurious Ram truck ever. Ram is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Eating, working, living pain-free. These are things many of us take for granted. But for many adults with disabilities who are elderly or have serious medical issues, dental care is simply unaffordable. Dental Lifeline Network is looking for dentists who can change this. DLN is asking dentists and their teams to volunteer to just see one of the many patients in need. You can literally change a life. When you volunteer with DLN's donated dental services program to see one, you treat a pre-qualified patient in your office at your convenience. We handle the details so you can focus on the care. Lack of dental care can lead to the inability to have life-saving surgery, eat, or contribute to our community. If you are a dentist or know a dentist, please share this message. Will you see one? Visit willyouseeone.org to help change one life in your community today.
The mid-autumn boredom fell hard on Thomas and Abigail Wyatt, and to lighten it, Thomas decided they needed to head north to Gettysburg. Friends thought them misguided. Upon their arrival, they found a food scene with dishes unexpected and fanciful. Warm, welcoming people and beverage selections so impressive, Thomas would proclaim its drinks the nectar of the gods. This was a whole new Gettysburg.
Make your own history. Visit DestinationGettysburg.com.
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Live, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here on High School Sports Line, Glenn and Wick with you on the Maryland News Network. All right, Wick Eisenberg, let's go through some other stories. That's what we like to do on this show. We like to tell stories. We talked a little bit about cross country in the last segment. Let's talk about some sports that we haven't touched on yet.
Sure.
I want to talk some soccer and some field hockey, if you don't mind, in this segment. I want to start with, you told me you're working on a story about a really, really cool thing that's happened in St. Mary's County.
Yeah.
Tell me a little bit about the Great Mill Boys soccer program.
Yeah, Great Mills, this is one that really has jumped out to me. It's obviously coming up here. We have state finals for soccer all week. It's a great event at Loyola University at Ridley Athletic Complex. It's one of the best ones.
Which is really a remarkable soccer facility.
Oh, yeah, I was going to say, it's one of the best facilities for a state final that they do, and it's one of the best events. You should totally go if you have time this week, and you'll catch some great games. Very dramatic. But anyway, Great Mills was a school that jumped out to me when I saw that they qualified. I actually went to college down in St. Mary's, at St. Mary's College in Maryland. And so I know the sports scene a little bit down there. And I saw that and I was like, huh, a soccer team from St. Mary's has made the state finals. I know that doesn't happen often. So I started looking and it turns out it had never happened before.
Wow.
So it turns out that Great Mills is the first boys team, to ever make a state championship appearance. And it's a really remarkable story for me. They were able to beat Centennial from Howard County 3-1 in the semifinals, which I think a lot of people would say is an upset. But it's been a remarkable postseason for the Hornets here. In the sectional final, jumping all the way into there, that was just a wild game. That was 3-1 with 10 minutes to go. They had the lead on Huntingtown, a team they had never beaten before from Calvert County. Huntingtown is known for being a soccer powerhouse.
Sure.
Had never beaten them before. They gave up two late goals to make it 3-3, and head coach Matt Protzman admits going into overtime, he was very nervous about his team's chances. And it's an experienced group. There are some younger players in there, but he was sitting there and was like, oh man, I'm not sure how I'm feeling about this one. But anyway, they were able to pull through and get a remarkable header to win it late in that overtime from freshman Kelvin Coronado, which is a name you're going to hear later. Remember that name.
Okay.
And then the next round, they breezed past Potomac to win their first regional title in over 40 years. They hadn't won one since 1973. It had been a while. It's just a remarkable group, and it's a makeup of it is really fascinating to me. Matt Protzman, like I said, he's done a great job. This is his first year in charge of the team. He'd coached the girls team last year, but he made the jump over to boys, and the team has just done remarkably well. And in his words, the team is successful because it has a lot of speed up top, a very technical midfield, and a sturdy defensive line that has played together. The defense has played together at the club ball level for years. So it's players who really know each other. They're all the same age, and they just seem to work well together. High energy, and a team that really feeds off when the other team has the ball. When the other team has the ball, they love being able to close him down and take it off of him. So that's a team that that's where they get their energy and motivation from. In terms of the goal scoring, Miguel Salguero leads the way with 15 goals. Gabe Ichniowski, I got that one.
Yeah, we'll go with
14 goals and 9 assists from him. He's been fantastic. And Marcus Minich has been able to bring 13 goals from the midfield. But Coronado is the one that really jumps out to me. He scored 10 goals this year, 5 of which have come in the postseason. He scored a goal in every single postseason game.
Pick the right time to turn it on, right?
Right game to turn it on, and he's a freshman. So for me, it's just one of those things. To win a state final, you need things to break your way. You need players to step up and start playing, and Coronado appears to be that player for them right now. A really tenacious player, great in the box, and for me, he's somebody that you're definitely going to want to keep an eye on in this state final, but it hasn't just been on the offensive side of the ball. Tucker Protzman, the coach's son, leads the team with 12 assists. Now, he's a defender, so that really tells you a lot about their style. He's an outside back, and he really gets up and down the right wing and crosses the ball in. So he's an excellent he provides excellent service along that flank, but he also is a fantastic defender, and he's joined back there by center backs Isaiah Wells and JC Torres, who have really been the backbone of this team. And then finally, they have a goalkeeper, a sophomore, and once again, a unique name, Garrick Toman, I believe is how I'm going to pronounce
it. We'll go for it.
I'm probably wrong.
That's fine.
Has been great. He's been great this year, an 88% save percentage. Awesome. And he's made over 130 saves this year. So he's been called into duty a lot, but he's been able to do a great job defending the net for Great Mills. And they're going to go up, however, against a really tough program in C. Milton Wright. What's cool about this matchup, though, is both teams are in search of their first ever state title.
Oh, that's neat.
Which I always enjoy it when
new
that
teams,
happens.
Yeah.
When you have two teams, it really brings out the sort of the energy in the game. Teams want it more. But it's just fascinating. I mean, Simone Wright is probably going to be viewed as the heavy favorite. They've been the best, I would say, the best public school team, or one of the best public school teams in the Baltimore area. You always give your nods to those teams. But Great Mills, I mean, they're not just playing for a school. They're playing for an entire county. And something that I've always liked about St. Mary's County is whenever they have teams that make the state championship, I feel like players and community members from the two other high schools down there show up for these state final events to cheer them on. That happened when Choptacon won the baseball title a couple years ago, when Leonardtown girls soccer made the state finals, I believe it was 2 years ago. There was a huge crowd there with Great Mills and Leonardtown and Choptacon stuff there, you know, wearing the hoodies and things like that. So it's going to be a really raucous occasion, and I think a really good crowd for Great Mills. Will they be able to do enough to get past C. Milton Wright? We'll see, but either way, it's been just a historic run for them, and
really
you'd love
cool.
to see that happen.
This is High School Sports Line. Glenn Clark, Wick Eisenberg with you on the Maryland News Network. All right, Wick, let me transition. I want to talk a little field hockey as
sure.
well. We referenced the scores a little bit earlier on in the show of the state championship games from the weekend, but I know one in particular that jumped out to you was Chesapeake and Arundel County, who beat C. Milton Wright for the 3A title mm-hmm. this weekend, and their remarkable coach. Tell me a little about Joan Johnson. What do people need to know about her?
It should also be noted, for the record, I know we're going to talk about Chesapeake here. Geez, C. Milton Wright has had a good fall postseason.
We really have. It seems like we keep saying that every
talking
sport,
about
right?
them every yeah. sport and everything. But anyway, what a great year for them. But moving on, the reason this jumped out to me was I know the coach at Chesapeake, Joan Johnson. I did a story on them back in 2015 when Chesapeake was starting to break through and have some success. And for me, and this is going to be there's a lot of ways to argue this, and there's going to be a lot of ways that you can point holes in it. And there's also plenty of coaches who fit this description as well. I can't think of anybody who's turned around a program as well as she has. When she took over in 2013, I can't tell you enough, Chesapeake was the doormat of Anne Arundel County field hockey. They were hardly ever winning games. I mean, talking to the players, I remember from that story I did a couple years ago, I spoke with a player who said, yeah, our practices used to be we would do some light running at the beginning. We would stretch, kind of scrimmage for 20 minutes, and then we would just finish early. And that would be the end of the day, and we'd go home and do our homework. And it was just well, I wonder why you weren't winning as many games. Johnson, who is an alum of Chesapeake, by the way, came in 2013, and it's been a 180, has completely changed the culture. One of the things that she did, she brought in a strength and conditioning coach, which I would love to see the conversation she had with her players who were used to that practice regimen that
right.
we talked about. And now all of a sudden, here you go. You have your own strength and conditioning coach. We're going to change it up a little bit here. And so she brought that in, and the team got a lot bigger and faster. And then the other aspect of it is that practices became a lot more intense. She's known for scheduling 6 a.m. practices sometimes before school. The team is practicing practice in torrential downpour rain because you might have to play a game in that scenario.
That's true.
So it's really been a different sort of environment here, and the results have really come through and show for themselves. I mean, the team has now won two state championships in a row, and beforehand, like I said, that was just something that you could not have fathomed for Chesapeake, especially also when you throw into the fact that they've won a couple Anne Arundel County regular season titles with the powerhouses that they have down there, Severna Park, South River, Broadneck. It's a hotbed for that area, and they've been able to come out and be able to become a force in it, competing at a lower classification, the 3A level, when all those schools are at the 4A level. So this year's team had a little bit more of an up and down year. They had a brutal schedule early, and the low point, I would say, was probably losing 6-0 to Dover, a powerhouse from Delaware, who really honestly just whipped them. But then from there, that was sort of the turning point for the team. They won 8 straight games to win the Anne Arundel regular season title again. And in the state final, they were able to win 2-0. And for me, it's a program that I don't see slowing down anytime soon. Like I said, Johnson is an alum of that program. She played there. She lives in the area. She works in the area. She's not going anywhere. And as long as she's there, I think Chesapeake's going to have a really good fighting chance to remain a powerhouse. So for me, I just wanted to give a shout out because I can't think of a coach doing a better job right now. So anyway, shout out to Joan Johnson and Chesapeake Field.
Awesome. Congratulations to them on a state title. County Sports Zone provides schedules, scores, and standings for public high schools across Maryland. Get scores from every game every night by 11 p.m. Varsity, junior varsity, freshmen, never miss the score with County Sports Zone. And of course, you can read all of Wick's work, Wikipedia, at countysportszone.com as well. We'll head to the Bayside Conference next. Mike Bradley, host of Overtime Live on sfmsports.net, will join us. It's High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Hi, you laugh?
Yes, Medicare is such a maze.
United Healthcare can help.
Is that why you're driving this bulldozer?
Hop in. Choosing a plan doesn't have to be complicated. United Healthcare has the people, tools, and plans to get you through it, including the only Medicare plans with the AARP name.
That was easy.
Need to find a Medicare plan? Get help now at UHCMedicare.com. AARP Medicare plans from United Healthcare. United Healthcare pays royalty fees to AARP. AARP is not an insurer.
You know what's better than getting the best price for unlimited from Sprint? Getting the best price for unlimited and a great deal on a new Samsung Galaxy S8. Switch to Sprint and get unlimited, plus HD streaming and 10 gigabytes of mobile hotspot for $25 per month per line for 4 lines with the 5th line free. And for a limited time, save 50% on a new Samsung Galaxy S8 with Sprint Flex. Plus, upgrade anytime after 12 lease payments with Galaxy Forever. Visit your local Sprint store. Go to Sprint.com/GS8 or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today. Only at Sprint. Works for me.
GS8, $15.62 per month after $15.63 per month. Monthly credit applied within 2 bills. For well-qualified customer with new line activation on 18-month lease. Unlimited savings until 1/31/19, then $38 per month for 5 lines with auto-pay discount applied within 2 invoices. Savings claim compared to similar plans from national carriers. Carrier's features differ. Coverage and offer not available everywhere or for discounted phones. Subject to credit and $30 activation fee. Excludes taxes, fees, roaming, and premium content. Prohibited network use rules and restrictions apply.
Colonel Sanders here with another important holiday message from KFC. This year, don't get the ones you love some lame, boring gift like a new car or jewelry or toys or expensive electronics or any other junk. Nope, get that special someone what they really want. Exactly! A KFC $5 fill-up with 100% white meat popcorn chicken, mashed potatoes and gravy, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink. It's a perfect gift for all those important people in your life who get hungry right around lunchtime. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Available for a limited time only. Pricing and participation may vary. Tax extra.
The sports talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Back in here on High School Sports Line, Glenn and Wick with you. And now it's time for us to make our weekly trip down to the Bayside Conference. Always a pleasure to be joined by our pal Mike Bradley, who you know as the host of Overtime Live at sfmsports.net. Mike, it's good to talk to you, man. I know it was a rough weekend for the teams of the Bayside Conference in the state playoffs, but one team that I think really surprised a lot of people, quite a victory for Kent Island. Tell me all about how they managed to pull off the big win over North Carolina.
Well, you're not kidding. Well, adjustments played a part in it. Kent Island, though, came out hair ablazing in this one. They came out and got out to a 13-0 lead. They came out with a team that had something to prove. They came out to certainly show that they wanted to make up for the loss to North Carolina a couple weeks ago. And frankly, North Carolina picked the worst first half of the year to have. because it certainly adversely affected them. Now, they obviously got back into the game. It was a really good game. Ken Island came out the victor. The final score was 33-29. But if they had to do it all over again, I think they would come out with much more in the way of playing with urgency in the first half, and that just didn't happen. Ken Island was able to run the football on them effectively, which they were unable to do 2 weeks before that. And part of that was because I think they abandoned the run a little too early, and that's what their head coach Damian Ferragamo told me, that they were close on a couple of runs, but they abandoned it too early. They didn't do that this time, and they got out to that early lead. You know, Caroline got back into it, but they turned the ball over in the first half on one of their drives. They also gave up a touchdown to Ken Island, or I should say a deep pass that led to a touchdown, because there was a miscommunication. There was nobody covering the wide receiver on the one play. So
you're not supposed to do that,
Mike. Kind of things happening.
You're not supposed to do that. I don't know everything there is to know about football, but I know you're supposed to cover the wide receivers. I do know that.
Yeah, no, that's exactly right. And Ken Island was very successful in the air, and that was an area that I was a bit worried about with North Carolina. You know, being at the game, being on the sideline, it seemed like, especially with the safeties, there was a lot of indecision. There was questions as to, you know, what they should be doing. And I don't know if that related to just getting their assignments late, what have you, based on what Ken Island came out in. But the Bucs were able to throw the football very effectively. Trent Jackson had a very good game. He threw for over 200 yards. He had three touchdown passes, and that third one coming with about 35 seconds left in the first half, in the second half, to J.C. Getz was the difference in the game. And North Carolina played much better in the second half, but unfortunately, they dug themselves just enough of a hole they had to not only come back from that, but then their defense just was not getting much in the way of stops. And what hurt too, North Carolina star running back David Bailey tweaked his ankle early on. He was not the explosive runner that you expected him to be. And then one of the other running backs, Will Manship, who also doubles as their kicker, looks like he broke his left arm, and he was out for most of the game as he was in a sling. So that didn't help matters either.
Hey, Mike, this is Wick here. I know there were some other games for the Bayside in the playoffs, and they did not go their way. Can you tell us a little bit about the other games that the conference took part in last week?
Yeah, I'll start in the 3A. Jay and Bennett hosting their first playoff game in Salisbury, and the first time in 25 years. They fell hard to Athelton from Howard County. And ironically, the area that had been very strong for them all year, special teams really let them down. They gave up some touchdowns on some kick returns and some punt returns as well. They also had one of their own punts blocked, and they ended up falling 43-7. I think Athelton, though, frankly, is just a better team. They run the spread offense. They throw the football a lot. And then their defense came in giving up just about 10 points a game, very stingy, and it showed the other night. So Bennett fell. In the 1A, Colonel Richardson, they fell hard to Havre de Grace. That was not a surprise, though. Havre de Grace, an excellent team. Colonel, the first time in the playoffs since 04. Colonel did not play their best game, but they still lost to the better team 56-6. So this game wasn't much of a game, even in the beginning. Havre de Grace got out to a quick lead, and they scored five touchdowns in the final 8.5 minutes of the first half to win that one. The game that was really good, though, Cambridge South Dorchester and Bowe Manor. Cambridge ended up losing that one 35-21, and Bowe Manor got a late touchdown in that game. But Cambridge on a pick six had tied it up 21 apiece late in the first half. And then Bowe Manor drove down the field Cambridge took the 21-14 lead. Then Bowe Manor got the ball back, drove down the field and scored to tie it up. And then Cambridge on what appeared to be an incompletion, the refs called it a fumble, and Bowe Manor was able to score off of that and take a 28-21 lead at halftime. But credit Cambridge's defense. They held down Bowe Manor for almost the entire second half, but the offense was just unable to get enough going there. But they played Bowe Manor really tough. And for a team that started 0-3, I give them a lot of credit in that one. But yeah, as you talked about, four of the five teams in the Bayside losing the playoffs week one.
Yeah, no doubt about that. But they're not all done. He is Mike Bradley, of course, the host of Overtime Live on SFMSports.net, and he joins us here on High School Sports Line on the Maryland News Network. So, Mike, one team does continue to march on, that, of course, being the aforementioned Kent Island. Now it doesn't get easier necessarily as they take on an upstart, a team that has had an amazing season in Hartford Tech. What do you expect from this matchup? And what is this, now that they've gotten this huge win, what is this Kent Island team capable of?
Well, Well, I think they're certainly capable of a lot. The fact that they can run the ball and they can throw the ball as well. They've always been stingy on defense. And, you know, guys, they've really gotten on a roll. I mean, they lost a couple weeks back, as I talked about, to North Carolina, 35-21. But then they blow out their arch rivals in week 10, Queen Anne's, 48-0 to get into playoffs. And then they go into North Carolina. And, again, they play with their hair on fire and really do a great job. Those guys were pumped up to get out to the early lead. So they're capable of winning this game. You know, I'm still trying to learn about Hartford Tech to a certain extent. But, look, I think some people are underestimating Hartford Tech, kind of the way that they've underestimated Kent Island against North Carolina. But, look, Hartford Tech's 11-0. You got to give them, a fair amount of credit. And, obviously, they've scored a lot of points. They've got some quality wins. Outside of just a conference at Tower Hill, non-conference win was a pretty good one. But to see how they dispatched of Elkton last week, this ought to set up to be a pretty darn good game. Now, the fact that Kent Island's been here before, they've played some tough non-conference teams, and then also coming off playing North Carolina, you know, two times in the last 3 weeks, they're battle-tested. I don't think Hartford Tech's going to be anything that they haven't seen before, that's for sure. But this ought to be really a really good game. I think certainly the important thing here for Kent Island is to get off to the kind of fast start that they did against North Carolina.
No doubt about that. All right, Mike, give us an idea now how your coverage changes, if at all, for this week.
Yeah, well, it does once again this week. This past week, I was on the sideline for the game, and I thought I'd layered up. Folks, it was 29
freezing.
Degrees. It was cold. I thought I'd layered up enough. But I did sideline reporting and then talk to the coaches after the game for the North Carolina-Kent Island game. I actually will be doing the play-by-play this week for the Kent Island-Hartford Tech game, as the gentleman that usually does it, Mark, who I work with, he'll actually be back running the board. So we're going to switch places. So I'm really looking forward to that with the game coming up. Kickoff at 7 o'clock in Bel Air there at Hartford Tech, and we'll have a pregame at 6:45. And then after the game, we'll talk to the coaches, and I'm sure we'll have a little back and forth with Mark after the game in the studio as well. So it won't be a full-blown overtime live show. We'll focus more on that game. And depending on what happens, you know, we'll either recap the season or we'll look forward to a state semifinal game for Kent Island. But first things first.
No doubt about that. And where can people hear it?
Yeah, 94.3 Winx FM on the Midshore on the radio, and of course, worldwide and streaming at sfmsports.net. And I'll still be providing some content here on the high school section. When you click down at sfmsports.net for Overtime Live, I'll have some content there with some What We Learned segments and some more Power Polls postseason there.
No doubt about that.
Of course.
No doubt about that. It is, we're coming down to it, obviously, just one team left. That, of course, being, just Mike, before I let you go, how sure. surprised are you by what happened? You know, like, is this as stunning as we make it out to be, or is this, dude, this is a really good team that just beat another really good team?
I was surprised, but I don't think I gave enough respect to Kent Island. That is a very good team, seeing them in person for the first time. But I am surprised with North Carolina, because when you have two Division I players like that, they don't come around often.
Yeah.
And you expected it was going to be a closer game. You expected Kent Island to play tough. But yeah, I was a bit surprised that North Carolina didn't get it done. And guys, I'll tell you this, that is a game that is going to sting within the coaches, within that program, but with the players graduating for a long time, because there is no doubt they had state finals on their mind. And then from there, you know, who knows what happens.
Yeah, no
obviously
question.
There's some excellent teams in the 2A West and South, there was no doubt that there were lofty expectations, and the amount of disappointment is going to stick with them for a while. And that program is going to hurt. They're going to be all right next year, but guys, they graduate a lot of guys, and those two D1 guys, they're not going to quite have the success they had over the last 4 years, which is 37-9. But yeah, give Kent Island a lot of credit. And Kent Island, I think, is certainly capable of winning this week and at least giving a good game in the state semis. And we'll see what they can do from there.
Mike Bradley, always appreciate it, man. When we come back in, we will go over other games coming up this weekend in the playoffs. Plus, we'll talk a little bit about the soccer championship weekend. That's on the way as we continue High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone, right here on the Maryland News Network.
You've made the necessary sacrifices, been fighting the good fight for as long as you can remember. And now perhaps it's time to enjoy a little fruit from all that labor. A bit of indulgence in the form of the new Ram Limited Tungsten Edition. Real wood trim, tungsten chrome accents, and an advanced technology touchscreen. All surrounded by a highly capable, hardworking truck that'll never let you forget what it took to get here. The new Ram Limited Tungsten. The most luxurious Ram truck ever.
Ram is a registered trademark of FCA US LLC.
Dell's Small Business Black Friday sale is on now with the lowest prices of the year. Shop huge doorbusters on the latest business PCs with Intel Core processors, plus top brand electronics and accessories. Just call 877-BUY-DELL. Did we mention there's free shipping on everything? For the year's absolutely lowest prices, don't miss out on these Black Friday doorbusters for small business. Just visit Dell.com/SBBlackFriday or call 877-BUY-DELL.
You know what's better than getting the best price for Unlimited from Sprint? Getting the best price for Unlimited and a great deal on a new Samsung Galaxy S8. Switch to Sprint and get Unlimited, plus HD streaming and 10 gigabytes of mobile hotspot for $25 per month per line for 4 lines with the 5th line free. And for a limited time, save 50% on a new Samsung Galaxy S8 with Sprint Flex. Plus, upgrade anytime after 12 lease payments with Galaxy Forever. Visit your local Sprint store. Go to Sprint.com/GS8 or call 1-800-SPRINT-1 today. Only at Sprint. Works for me.
GS8, $15.62 per month after $15.63 per month. Monthly credit applied within 2 bills. For well-qualified customer with new line activation on 18-month lease. Unlimited savings until 1/31/19, then $38 per month for 5 lines with auto-pay discount applied within 2 invoices. Savings claim compared to similar plans from national carriers. Carrier's features differ. Coverage and offer not available everywhere or for discounted phones. Subject to credit and $30 activation fee. Excludes taxes, fees, roaming, and premium content. Prohibited network use rules and restrictions apply.
The Sports Talk continues with High School Sports Line, powered by County Sports Zone on the Maryland News Network.
Final segment of High School Sports Line, Glenn and Wick with you. All right, Wick, let's continue the football conversation as we're going to go over games to watch this week. Again, could not possibly touch on all of them.
Seriously, yeah, I picked a game from each classification, and you could have I could have easily picked another 4 from each classification. It would have worked just fine. There's a ton
question.
Of great games.
Awful lot of great games coming up this weekend, but let's go over just 4 games that specifically you think everybody needs to be paying attention to this weekend in the high school football playoffs. And we'll begin, how about in the 4A South, where Roosevelt is taking on Wise?
Yeah, for me, this is going to be a really interesting test for Wise. This is the toughest test that they had during the regular season from an MPSSAA school in Eleanor Roosevelt. Wise does not get tested very often. They've won 39 straight games. Its last loss came in this regional semifinal round of 2014. So it's been a little while. And get ready for some streaks like that, because we have a few coming up here. But anyway, the Pumas have maintained their streak of dominance this year. 493 to 57 is what they've outscored their opponents this year. But the toughest game for them, yeah, and their toughest game against an MPSSAA opponent came in week 8 against Roosevelt, and it was a 21-14 contest. So that's why it really jumps out to me. Is Wise going to be able to handle Roosevelt a second time, or is Roosevelt going to be able to make some adjustments and be able to just flip the score a little bit? It's a tall ask for Roosevelt. Wise has a dynamic quarterback, Quentin Williams, in his first year of starting, 25 touchdowns, 1,602 yards, just 2 interceptions. They have a great playmaker in A.J. Litton, who has 413 yards receiving and 6 touchdowns. But then the guy who, and it's a great name, John Moo Moo Oliver.
Yeah,
he goes by
Moo
Moo.
Love
great name. Has continued his sensational high school career. He's rushed for 1,012 yards and 14 touchdowns. And it's also a situation where Wise is up by a lot and he gets pulled early. So just for the record, it could be probably a lot more. The defense is also strong for Wise, with Tyron Brooks and Christopher Rhodes being their leaders. And Dimitri Morcel has 6 interceptions this year. So Wise is definitely another team to contend for the 4A state title. There's no reason to think they can't do it again, but Roosevelt might have something to say about that. They already avenged their 8-2 this year in the regular season, and they already avenged their first loss of the season, which came against C.H. Flowers.
Okay,
they were able to beat them last week 34-7. And quarterback Jaden Faulkner.
I would certainly call that vengeance.
Yes, yeah. I would say vengeance. Yeah, and they got their 34 first. But anyway, Jordan Faulkner has been sensational. He's rushed for 1,242 yards. And he's also been able to throw for 871. He scored 26 touchdowns this year. So a lot of the offense runs through Faulkner, but he has some help. Alicia McDonald has been really good, 1,162 yards rushing and 16 touchdowns. Spencer McMillan on defense has been great with 54 tackles. Donald Jackson has 11 sacks. This is just a game for me that I think you're going to want to keep an eye on. Can Wise get out of their region? I think Roosevelt's going to be a tough test for the Pumas.
Very cool. That, of course, is at the 4A level as we go over our games to watch for this week. That one's 7 o'clock. o'clock on Friday night. 3A West, two powerhouses, Linganore, Westminster, get together.
Yeah, and talking about avenging losses, Westminster, the home team, the higher seed, actually lost to Linganore earlier this year. Now, that was in at Linganore, so they're going to have the home field advantage here, but they lost 50-28. But since then, Westminster has won all of its games by double digits, and in the first round of the playoffs, the Owls scored 51 points in the first half to just bury Watkins Mill early. They were able to win that one 58-18, and Jaden Lucas is their go-to guy. He ran for 88 yards and four touchdowns in that game. Christian Etchison, who is their quarterback, he's had a great year. He's thrown for 1,728 yards, 23 passing touchdowns. For me, he's one of the best quarterbacks in the state. He really didn't have to do that much this game. It was a lot of running the ball, a lot of game management, but he still contributed a rushing score against Watkins Mill. They have a very good defense as well with TJ Schatz and Max Somerville. Schatz has 87 tackles. Somerville has 78. And then Linganore, for me, I mean, it's always hard to count out teams from Frederick County when they're playing out-of-county opponents for me. It's just such good football out there. They're always so battle-tested. They lost twice this year to Walkersville and Oakdale, two great teams. But they were able to pick up their first win of the playoffs, 27-12 against Blake. Ryan Lee's been great for them, served for 1,577 yards and 14 touchdowns. Joey Felton has been his main receiver, 732 yards. And then Devon Butler has been rushing for them. He's over 1,000 yards this year with 15 touchdowns. And then Luke Freeman is everywhere on their defense, 101 tackles this season. That doesn't happen often. But anyway, this is going to be a game that you want to keep an eye on. Can Westminster flip the score in the playoffs? We'll have to see.
That's another Friday night, 7 o'clock game for that one. Now to the 2A West, a pair of undefeated teams getting together as Walkersville tangles with Damascus.
I mean, this is, and I don't like throwing this around very often because there's a lot of times people do it too much, but for me, this has the potential to be the game of the year all classifications. It's very rare that two defending state champions face each other in the state playoffs, but that's what's going to happen when Walkersville faces with Damascus. Now, you might wonder, how's that possible? Damascus won the last two state championships at the 3A level, but because of their school population, got bumped down to 2A this year. So they go from 3A to 2A, and that's what makes this matchup possible. The Hornets have won their last 39 contests. Their most recent loss came against Franklin in the 2014 3A state title game. So once again, this is a team that is successful, wins a lot, and these are two teams that play the same way. Damascus averages over 300 yards rushing as a team per game, and that was definitely on display in their playoff debut this year against Liberty when they won 35-0. Ben Locos, who averages 15.83 yards per carry, scored on runs of 57 and 46, while Evan Perkey also ran for two touchdowns. TD Ayo Durojaye, who probably got it wrong, leads the team in rushing this year with 859 yards and 15 touchdowns. He scored once against Liberty, and the Damascus defense recorded its third shutout of the season against Liberty. So for me, I mean, it's a rush-heavy team taking on another rush-heavy team. Walkersville beat Elkton last year in the state final 33-6 on the strength of their running game, and it's carried over to this year. They've won 25 straight contests. The most recent loss for them came in the 2A state title game in 2015 against Patuxent. They opened their 2017 postseason campaign with a big win against Oakdale, 31-16. The team's rushing attack, like Damascus, has been sensational. It's based around Jacob Wetzel, who's run for 1,268 yards and 19 touchdowns. Christian Policelli is the number two guy with 662 yards and 9 touchdowns. And then Ty Littleton, the third running back, has 633 yards.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, 12 touchdowns for him. I mean, this is just a meeting of the Titans. It's going to be a big game. I've been seeing online, people are saying, yeah, I'm coming all the way over from the Eastern Shore to watch this game.
Wow, that's cool.
This is big time stuff here, and I really don't know who's going to win this. It is a toss-up. I really don't know who's going to win, but it's going to be great.
Awesome, awesome game. Again, that one also at 7 o'clock on Friday night at Damascus between the two undefeated powers, Walkersville and Damascus. The 1A South, Douglas from Prince George's County will take on Lackey. Tell me about that one.
Yeah, this is one that I think really jumped out to me because these are two teams that I could easily see making a deep run and possibly challenging Fort Hill for that 1A state title. Starting with Lackey, the Chargers last lost in week 7 against Choptacon, but have outscored their opponents since then 157-23, which includes a 57-6 victory over Surrattsville last week to open the playoffs. And they need another exceptional performance from quarterback Robert Middleton, who's been able able to do it all year as a dual threat. He leads the team in rushing with 1,847 yards from the quarterback position.
Impressive.
He's also run for 788 yards. He's run for 23 scores and thrown for 8, too. I mean, the guy does everything. He's definitely their key man. But Jason Wilmer has also been key in the rushing attack with 465 yards. And Jordan Carter and James Wilkerson have been his two main receivers. They've each caught 14 passes this year. On the defensive side of the ball, Chris Thompson has been their equivalent of Middleton there. He leads the defense with 99 tackles and 20 sacks. That is just remarkable. He's in the back. He's in the backfield the whole game, it seems like. And Jonathan Bridget has also been great on the other end of the defense with 7 interceptions. But Douglas, to me, is as battle-tested as anyone. They're playing the top teams at PG County. A lot of these 4A schools, they are ready to go here.
Sure.
They've recovered nicely from a stretch from week 6 to 9 where they lost all 3 of 4 games against very tough competition. They last won a state title in 2014, and they've reeled off 2 straight shutouts heading into this game, including last week beating Fairmont Heights 38-0. Quarterback Jawan Payton is sort of their version of Middleton for Lackey, but he's been their catalyst. He's rushed for 649 yards. He's thrown for 562. But they spread the ball around a lot in the rushing attack. Kevin Broom, Steven Jones, Brian Epps Jr., they all join Peyton here with having rushed for over 300 yards. Jalen Grubbs has also been a key man for them on the receiving threat. 4 receiving touchdowns for him. Brooklyn McNair on defense has also been great with 84 total tackles. That's going to be one to watch at the 1A level.
All right, so those are 4. That one's also, by the way, a 7 o'clock Friday game to watch. Those are 4 high school football playoff games to watch this weekend. This football season, get the latest MPSSAA schedules, brackets, and more at countysportszone.com. Wick, before we wrap up for the week,
sure.
It's also a big weekend, obviously, in soccer. Can you take me through soccer championship weekend? What's coming up?
Yeah, well, on Friday we have coming up here Sparrows Point against Patterson Mill in both boys and girls. So that's going to be, I think, a pretty electric atmosphere. You have both sets of teams playing each other, and these are two programs that are very familiar with each other, especially on the girls' side of things. That was the state final last year. But Sparrows Point, it's very, very intriguing to me. I think has a great, interesting opportunity here to win both of them after switching coaches. The girls' head coach last year jumped over to the boys' team. And so now let's see, can he win a state title with the boys as well?
Cool. What else?
Noon on Saturday, it's a quad header, if you will. Linganore versus Huntingtown in the girls for 3A. 2:30 kickoff for Great Mills and Seamount and Wright at the boys' level, a team we talked about in Great Mills already. And then at the nighttime, it is going to be the 4A matchups. Broadneck Urbana for girls, BCC, and Severna Park for boys.
Very good. All coming up at Loyola this weekend. Wick, always appreciate it. Thanks to our producer, Steve Clendenin. You can listen to this show anytime by downloading our podcast. Go to MarylandNewsNetwork.net and click Audio On Demand.